Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available if at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Time now for Mego and Shine on WEEI.
I understand he just texted you.
Yeah, he texted me, and you know, I was talking to him earlier, seeing mentally where he was, and it's like, anything you want to tell your fans, your fan base? And he's like, look, I'm devastated by this, and I appreciate all the love and support from everyone. But he wanted people to know, this injury will not define me, and I can't wait to be back in Celtic Green to show you why. So you kind of see his mindset already.
That was Reggie Miller with the most valuable thing he's ever provided on a broadcast.
Sounds like you guys get along.
I am not a Reggie broadcast fan. Loved Reggie as a player. Knicks and Pacers, by the way, really throwing it back to Reggie Miller's era. I don't love him as a broadcaster, but that was a sweet moment that he shared a text with Jason Tatum, hoping that he had permission to share that text. But whatever, he put it out there. This is Megan Ottolini. No Chris Scheim this afternoon. He's taking a little vacation day. We got John Lyons here. We got the Lion's Den with you up until 1 p.m., and we're taking all your Celtics thoughts. You can air out your feelings, as negative as they may be, whoever you want to go after, as disappointed, as sad, who you're looking to say goodbye to. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to text or call the station and join the conversation. One thing we really haven't addressed that much this morning, John, has been the Tatum injury. And I know people have been thinking about it and talking about it all week. So I don't want to like sit here and talk about the speed bridge surgery. I'm not a doctor. I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to take him. I don't know if he'll be back in February. I don't know if we'll wait until the following season to see him at all. What I do feel is that Tatum's situation is unique. And it's very difficult to compare if you're trying to gauge what this might mean for his future. Because other guys who had this injury in the NBA tend to be in their 30s. And you look at some of the best case scenarios. One of the best case scenarios was 32-year-old Dominique Wilkins back in 1992. So it's like you've had radical advances in medicine and orthopedics and everything since then. But Dominique has one of the best outcomes. And then you look at somebody like Boogie Cousins, who is a big, so he plays a completely different position than Tatum, completely different body type. I would say completely different approach to the game of basketball and most things in life.
It's a nice way
Jason
to put it.
Tatum. So I don't think that's a good comparison. Of course, you look at Kobe, somebody who was much older, already towards the end of his career, was never really quite right again. And Kevin Durant. And maybe that's the one you can look at closest. I just don't think there's any one-to-one comparison.
Also, John Wall, right? He never was the same.
Never was the same. But again, like really a much bigger guy than Tatum.
Very not as good a player.
Like if you want to look at play style, maybe you can say Kevin Durant because they both love to live in the mid-range game.
I still view Tatum as a more physical player than and I'm not saying Durant couldn't play physical, but I just view Tatum even more so because those so many times Durant would have the pull-up jumper for two, I think we see Tatum drive to the lane a little bit more, right? So a little bit more of a physical player. We even talked defensively how good he was in the series before he went down. And the age thing is interesting because even Durant, 30, you mentioned Dominique Williams, 32, Kobe in his 30s. So Tatum being 27, I would assume that would help him. And I think you can look at it and say he's probably still has 10 to 12 more years left in his career after this injury, right? So maybe that helps him a little bit more than someone who's in their 30s. But who knows, right? It might just be something that no matter who you – I mean, if you're between 25 and 35, it's kind of the same thing. I don't know, right? I'm not a doctor either. So I think it's an existential question for the Celtics is when is he going to come back, but what level is he – because I think you and I sit here and we look at him as a top five player in the NBA. If he comes back and he's a top five player in the NBA, that's awesome. What if he comes back and he's – the 11th best player in the NBA. Still great, still an all-star, still an all-NBA guy, but is the 11th best guy in the NBA a one on a championship team? Like Tatum right now is a one on a championship team. If he's the 11th or 12th best player, is he a one? Like if he's as good as Tyrese Halliburton, that's a great player. Is that a one on a champ? Maybe we'll find out in a couple months, but like that to me is kind of one of the major existential questions here as he comes back.
Right, and that's what the team has to figure out because my opinion of how they should move forward is everything has to be geared towards maximizing the championship window that Jason Tatum gives you. Jaylen Brown is important, but Jason Tatum is your generational player. He's the cornerstone of this championship window. And I do think that most things work in his favor. The age, I think, works on his side. The access that he has to literally the greatest doctors in the world in Boston works on his side. His overall mentality and that he is one of these guys that his life is pretty much just basketball and his kids, like that, I think works in his favor. He's surrounded by really good people. He's not one of these players. All these players, no matter the sport, really, at least between basketball and football, are walking personal businesses. And I think who Tatum surrounds himself with are smart people who are taking him in the right direction. And I think he's with the most professionally, responsibly run franchise. As long as Brad Stevens is there in the front office, I think that they will do what is in his best interest, even if it's something that maybe he doesn't want. If he wants to come back in February and they feel like, hey, this is a player who isn't himself yet and it might do detriment to the healing process, I think that there would be enough people in that building who would push back for his own benefit for
and that's one note
taking care of him
on the Durant thing. If you remember when Durant tore his Achilles, he had a calf strain earlier in the playoffs, came back earlier than maybe he should have.
Horrifying.
Because it was the final, and look, it was the final, so I get why he wanted to come back, but maybe if he doesn't come back that early, he never tears the Achilles. And I know that's a big what if, but you want to be really careful with Tatum. And I know I said last hour that his timeline's my biggest question, and could it be February, and could you contend for a championship? But you got to make sure this dude's 100% because it's not just 2026 or 2027. Like, this is a cornerstone guy in 2029, in 2030, like going forward. Like, that's the goal here. And I think we all looked at Tatum and Brown, and you know, we're talking Tatum specifically now, but Tatum and Brown, and said, all right, they get Porzingis, they get Holiday, this will be a couple-year run, and then they'll retool around those guys again for kind of a second run later on. And we're going to see how they are able to maximize that, because I think they did a really good job this couple of years maximizing around Tatum. Him and Brown work well together. White's a great compliment. Porzingis, those guys work really well around Tatum, around Brown. They're going to kind of have to find the next wave of that, and it's going to start next month, right? Like, they're going to have to find the next wave of guys that complement Tatum, and they're going to have to start doing it without Tatum being there.
What I think is fascinating about this inflection point for the Celtics is I've watched NBC Sports Boston, love working with those folks over there, and Scal and Eddie House, they make a lot of natural comparisons to that 2008 beyond kind of run from that last big championship window and why they weren't able to repeat. And I think that there's an interesting kind of flip here where at that time, your stars outside of Rajon Rondo were aging, and they were these mostly free agent or trade that you brought in to complement Paul Pierce, and you had to execute on this window because your stars were aging. In this era of a championship window, your supporting cast is aging out, and that's certainly where you want to be better off if your core is these younger guys in the Jays, and if you want to throw Derek White in there as well. But at the same time, now with this injury to Jason Tatum, I think it makes it much tougher to say, okay, do we need to do something a little bit more dramatic? Not this offseason, but maybe the following offseason to maximize what we have with the Jays. And as you look at the roster today, I just don't know how many pieces you have that you can move right now that would be really compelling to other teams outside of Jaylen Brown. And I don't think they're going to move Jaylen Brown. That's why I don't think it's going to be incredibly dramatic unless you think shedding some of the supporting cast rotational players seems dramatic. Let's take a call. We didn't get to the point that I want to make, which is an actual comparison to someone in Boston sports. But I keep leaving you guys on the phone lines because we're having what I think is a really interesting conversation in studio. So let me get a voice to you guys. Let's go to Phil in New Hampshire. What's up, Phil?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
You know, you were saying, like, let's rant, get rid of who, and I'll talk about who we want to get rid of and all that. And I'm not feeling that. You know, we had a rough go of it. Holiday playing with the hamstring, Porzingis with some kind of respiratory thing. You know, we can't keep it together because it's cost prohibitive. We had a young coach who has a great philosophy, but he went a little too far with his own philosophy this year, and I'm sure he learns from that because he's, you know, exceedingly young. I think people forget that. I think Tatum getting his surgery within 12 hours is a great article on that. Is key and insane. So he's got a way better chance of healing completely. I think a little bit of time away might actually help him too. Like, I am in the exact opposite side of the spectrum as everybody else. I feel like we were blessed to have what we have. And sometimes, you know, injuries happen and things don't fall your way and you got to reset. And I think next year, you know, guys like Shireman and all these other guys get a chance to get some real meaningful minutes when Tatum comes back. You know, we have something great to build off of. And I don't see why everyone's tear it down, fire Mazzulla, get rid of everyone. I don't see it. I don't.
All right. Thanks, Phil. Look, if you can't tell, I'm much more on that side of the street personally. Like, I don't think that there's going to be a necessary teardown. It's what your definition of it is.
Well, right now they have the best roster in the NBA, and
right,
they have for 2 years. I think realistically, they're not going to have head and shoulders the best roster in the NBA going forward. However, that doesn't mean you can't contend for championships. Like, you know, those are two different. Now, it'll be a lot closer. It'll be more parity. And, of course, I'm now talking once Tatum comes back. But, like, okay, last year you had head and shoulders the best roster in the NBA. This year, when healthy, you did too. You're not going to have that next year and the year after, but you're going to have Tatum and Brown and White and a core around them, and you can still compete for champions. It's really now about Brad, I think, threading the needle and getting to kind of that next wave of, is it Baylor Shireman who's going to contribute? Is it whoever, like, what is that kind of next wave of, is Pritchard going to be as effective in a starting role as he was as a sixth man? Like, that to me is where they're going to thread the needle.
Here's what's in the Celtics' favor. I'll say this. For the guys that they have been bringing up, their player development team is unreal. Yeah. Because Peyton Pritchard, when he was playing under Brad Stevens, that's how long he's been around, they developed him into a guy who's the sixth man of the year. I mean, he could have been a starter on some teams this year. Would he have been in a Terry Rozier goes to the Charlotte Hornets and is a starter there situation? Maybe, but he still would have been an NBA starter elsewhere in the league. That's how good he's
gotten.
Terry's
another example, by the way.
Right.
Guy that they kind of drafted and developed into a pretty good player for them.
I think Peyton's better than Terry.
I would agree, but I think, just to your point.
But, yeah. But Terry had that incredible playoff run in 2018, and I don't want to take that credit away from him. He became a starter. He earned it. But you got Luke Kornet, a guy who was a G League guy in New York, ironically. And then you bring him up here, and he changes his entire game. He was a three-point shooting big, and he became a guy who developed a physical post game. You didn't see the best of it last night. He was a little outmatched in that situation, a little over his head as a starter in the playoff game. But that's a development success story. Can you do that with Baylor Shireman? We'll see. I'm not saying these guys are going to come up and be the future starters for you, but I do think in their favor, at least from a perspective of depth, you're not looking at, like, sorry, I'm just going to say, like, it's not like a Romeo Langford situation where I used to sit all the time and say, what is Romeo Langford for?
Carson,
like,
Edwards.
Yeah. Unfortunately, those guys didn't work out here, and you didn't exactly see them go and explode elsewhere in the league. I think that they've done a really good job developing these role players. So maybe if you can backfill some of your team that way and you need to make a bigger move, you can figure it out roster-wise with the money. I just think there's going to be some difficult conversations in the future that you have to have with yourselves. I still don't think that's going to be Jaylen Brown in the immediate future, but I've been wrong before. We've all been wrong before. I can just tell you what my sense is. I don't think you're going to sit here and be trading Jaylen Brown to the Mavs or San Antonio and trying to get some draft picks or for Giannis or so you can sign Giannis or so any kind of crazy situation like that. But we got to hit trending with Zach Coe. On the other side, we're going to continue our Celtics talk. I promise we're going to get to what I actually want to talk about, which is this comparison to a brutal injury that we saw here in our backyard in New England and what it might show us about Jason Tatum's future.
Your home of the Sox. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
The Celtics' pursuit of Banner 19 and back-to-back titles is over. They fell to the New York Knicks 119-81 last night at Madison Square Garden. Jaylen Brown led the way with 20 points, and here's what he had to say after the loss.
It stings. Anytime, you know, losing stings, especially finishing your season like this, you know, it wasn't our year.
Knicks advance to take on the Indiana Pacers in the Eastern Conference Finals. That series will get underway on Wednesday. Red Sox losing streak extended to 4 last night. They fell to the Atlanta Braves in a Garrett Crochet versus Chris Sale pitcher's duel, 4-2 the final. Crochet went 7 innings, allowing 2 runs on 7 hits while striking out 8. They'll be back in action tonight at Fenway. Lucas Giolito taking the mound opposite Grant Holmes. You can hear coverage of that one right here on WEEI and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's perfecting the art of fresh. Dan Ball getting you started on the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:15. Then Will Fleming and Lenny DiNardo will have the call of the game. First pitch at 7:15. Elsewhere in the NBA, the Nuggets heading to Oklahoma City for a winner-go-home Game 7 tomorrow afternoon. Winner advances to take on the Timberwolves in the Western Conference Finals. Over in the NHL, the Maple Leafs staving off elimination with a 2-0 win over the Panthers in Sunrise. They head back to Toronto for Game 7 tomorrow night. And the Winnipeg Jets looking to follow in the Maple Leafs' footsteps later tonight. They'll head to Dallas for Game 6. Stars lead that series 3-2. Some major NFL news yesterday. The 49ers and quarterback Brock Purdy agreed to a 5-year, $265 million extension. That'll make him the 5th highest paid player in the NFL. Finally, the Revolution hosting the San Jose Earthquake tonight at Gillette Stadium. Kickoff at 7:30. My name is Zach Cohen. That's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com. More Mego and John Lyons coming up after this.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Now, more of Mego and Shine on WEEI.
It was tough. It was a really tough moment.
It was a big injury. My ACL tore. You know, you'd watch a lot of other quarterbacks' ACLs over the years. It's a season-ending injury. But I went into Coach Belichick's office, and I said, I want to play. I'll fix my ACL at the end of the year. I could just put a brace on it, I'll tape it, and I'll just play the whole season.
I remember after he hurt his knee. Tom Brady's throwing the football. I was like, dude, you just tore your knee and you're out here. So I said, damn, dog, you gonna be okay? Next thing you know, he goes in the training room to get the thumbs up or the thumbs down. He comes back, slams his playbook, and then he starts cussing. He's like, dude, I'm sorry, I'm not gonna be out there with you today. You know, something like that. It was hard for him to accept. I ain't seen no more after that. That was it.
Why is WEEI playing an old Dynasty clip of Tom Brady when we're doing Celtics talk? Celtics didn't get to have a Dynasty. The back-to-back dream is dead. 55 years, we're still waiting for a back-to-back title from the Celtics. It's all right. It's all right, though. The Knicks had to wait 25 years to get back to the Eastern Conference Finals, so it could be a lot worse. But nobody wants to hear that today. What they want to know is what's going to happen with Jason Tatum. What's going to happen with the rest of this team? What's the new owner going to do? We don't know. And as I said a couple minutes ago, Megan Ottolina here with John Lyons. Chris Scheim is off today and will be with you until 1 o'clock. We don't really have a great comparison point for Jason Tatum because he's a unique case in this Achilles injury and what he's going to come back like, what his game is going to look like. But there were some comparisons right after it of people trying to look back and say, when's the last time that an athlete had a setback like this in his prime locally? And immediately people were thinking 2008 Brady ACL, how bad that felt. They were coming off that 2007 season when they had suffered such disappointment. They had so much talent. They were ready to go. They wanted to wipe the slate clean, get right back into it, and the first home game of the season in the first quarter, Brady goes down. It's horrible. It looks like the season is lost. Even when Matt Cassel gets in there and he gets things going and it's fun for the regular season, you don't make the playoffs, and there's such a question mark at that time looming around Brady. I think now we all look back and we're like, of course, Brady, pocket passer, super smart guy, so dedicated to the craft. Of course he was going to come back and be as good as ever, if not have even more prime years in him. But I just want to read you. This is from a Fox Sports story. I was like digging through the internet archives the other day. This is from a Fox Sports story in 2008, game notes that were written after that week of NFL games. Here's what they said. Knee injuries are devastating to quarterbacks. They usually take a full year to recover from and a year of playing again to get used to playing after the injury. Not only does this affect the Patriots' 2008 season, but also their 2009 season. There is no way to know how the Patriots' linebackers and secondary progress. There is no way to know what Randy Moss looks like in 2 years. This injury puts a serious dark cloud over the future of the Patriots' dynasty. There were many times over the years that people tried to declare the end for Brady and Belichick prematurely, especially Brady. We all know about falling off the cliff prematurely, but this was what it seemed like an inflection point of this could seriously end it for this 31-year-old quarterbacks. Quarterbacks at that time only get worse in their 30s. Basically, after your early 30s, it's done, and now he has this terrible injury. An ACL seems a lot in most cases, more simple to come back from than an Achilles, of course, in a basketball player. But it does feel a little bit similar to at least the immediate aftermath of how we were thinking about, talking about, projecting out what could happen with Jason Tatum and what this means for the future of the Celtics as they try to compete for more titles.
And to be clear, that article ended up being prescient because the Patriots and Brady were not as good in 09. They weren't really a legitimately good team again until 2010. So just to keep that in mind as well. And I think when you look at the comparisons to them, like where they've been in their career, even at that point, like Brady had gone to 4 Super Bowls and won 3. Like Tatum's gone to 2 NBA Finals, 1 championship. But I think when we were doing radio and just being Celtics fans last summer, we looked at this and said, hey, this could be the start of a run where over the next 8 years they win 3 or 4 championships, or 10 years they win 3. And we knew at the time that it wasn't going to be with Porzingis and Holiday the whole time. But hey, maybe they win a couple with Porzingis and Holiday, then they retool, then a couple years after that, maybe they win 1 or 2 more. Now we look at it, and I'm not trying to be doom and gloom here, but we look at it like maybe it's like 2008, where you win a championship in dominant fashion, you start the next year in dominant fashion, Garnett gets hurt, you lose in the second round that year, you get back to the finals in 2010, but you lose due to another injury, then you get back to the East Finals in 2012, lose in Game 7, so you were still good, but you never quite got to the top of the mountain again. So I think coming into this year, we said, oh, this could be like the 80s, where you make the finals 5 times, you win 3 championships. Great. It might be like, oh, wait. And again, I'm not trying to be all, they can still be championship contenders after this, but I think it's much more murky now than it was even just 2 weeks ago.
I think it truly all comes down to the roster construction. Honestly, as it did with the Patriots, because Brady took a little time. He looked great when he first came back. I remember watching that first game back
the following season. Buffalo,
It was super fun. I was not a Patriots fan. I was watching in Washington, D.C., and I was like, this is awesome. I'm just so glad. Everybody wants to see the great talent return to themselves. Nobody wants to see what we saw, for example, with Derrick Rose and his multiple ACLs. Like, that's the kind of athlete where you look and you go, that could have disrupted so much in the NBA. They were supposed to be the next great Bulls team. And that guy was never right again. I think, though, if you look at how Brady changed after that injury, and he talked pretty openly about it in that Dynasty clip. Shout out to the text line who wanted me to identify who was talking in the clip about Tom Brady. It was Tom Brady. So that was Tom Brady. And then there was Randy Moss. So if you don't recognize Tom Brady's voice, I don't really know what to tell you after all this time on sports radio. I'll do a better job of that in the future, but probably should be able to recognize when Tom Brady's talking about himself. I digress. I was looking at this old this review that my friend Michael Hurley wrote. He was going through the entire Dynasty series, and he mentioned that in that episode where Brady's talking about his ACL, it's the first time that we see Alex Guerrero sit down. And Alex Guerrero is a very divisive figure, but Brady changed after that injury. You can correct me if you think it came much later, but I think he kind of openly says, look, he was working with Guerrero before that, but his mindset changed and his appreciation for going out there and the falling in love with the process, as he so often talked about, appreciating the Tua days, the training camp, the schedule, the grind, and falling in love with it because he had to spend that entire year in bed. Tatum's a guy who already is extremely dedicated to his craft in that way. I wonder if he comes back, what works in his favor. If he is himself, it's going to take some time for him to feel confident, especially in situations where he's landing in traffic and all these things that you really can't fake through your rehabilitation process, just getting healthy again. Do we see a change in Tatum's personality?
I do wonder, and I was thinking about this after the injury happened and after the surgery, does he come back, at least initially, a little bit more timid and a little bit more concerned about? Because one of the things I think is so great about Tatum's game is that he can play a physical style. Like we saw last year in the finals, he was not shooting well from 3. Yet, again, games 2 and 5, best player on the court, double-digit rebounds, double-digit assists, right? Still had 30 points. Remember all those and ones in game 5?
You can see it in your head where he will grab a defensive rebound, especially both feet planted, just palms the ball, and then moves it up court. Like that, there's this style of his game where he's not afraid to swing elbows. He's not afraid to get in the paint as much as people criticize how much he has the pull-up jumpers.
Yeah, and I think when he goes downhill, and I would say this about Brown too, but when he goes downhill, he can be devastating to opposing defenses. And I think defensively as well, and you just referenced it, how willing he is to be a defender, to be a defensive rebounder. Is he a little bit more timid with something like that? And I look at the only thing I kind of sticks in my mind, game 7 against Miami in 23, after he sprained the ankle, how he really just became a shooter. And he hit a couple threes, and he was out there, and the defense had to respect him. But he really was a one-dimensional guy, and it wasn't the same. And right. I don't think it's going to go to that extreme. But I do wonder, at least initially, is that something he has to work through?
I guess I'm thinking, I'll just tell you my opinion, and this is not based on anything. I'm not a doctor, and I don't know the situation, and it's very early. I think because of, this is really just reading the tea leaves of his Supermax contract and his age, I would think that they're going to err very much on the side of caution with Tatum next year. So if you're looking at it and going speed bridge surgery, Tatum's going to come back in 8 months and Tatum, it's going to take him a while. He's going to get his feet wet and then he's going to be himself. I don't know. I don't know what situation this team's going to be in next year. And if you have to wait until the following October to see him, that maybe that's the path. Like I wouldn't rush that guy back because from a like ugly, you know, dollars and cents perspective, you have him on this 5-year Supermax deal. If you got to lose him for 1 year of the Supermax, you don't want to possibly lose him for 2 years or 3 years or do something that re-aggravates or changes the player in a way where the entire Supermax injury, or sorry, the entire Supermax contract rather, doesn't even look like a Supermax player. From like a very cold perspective of that way, I would say it's smart to err on the side of caution.
Yeah, and I think, again, that's the biggest question of the offseason. Because if they really think, hey, he can be back in February, March and be okay and not be timid, as I mentioned, and be healthy enough to do all those things you talked about and have no re-injury risk, that's going to change how they construct the roster for this year. Whereas if he's not going to be back, I think you're, and again, I don't want to use the phrase tear down, but you're going to see more pieces move this year. Because I think, let's be honest, and I love Jaylen Brown. I love what he does in the community. He was the finals MVP. I think you talked about player development earlier. How about the poster child for development, Jaylen Brown, from when he got here? But I think with him as the one, the ceiling is probably maybe you can win a round, maybe sneak into the conference finals depending on the matchup, but that's kind of it. Like those bridgey Celtics with Isaiah Thomas. You could get to the conference finals, but you kind of knew I don't think there's as much beyond that. So if that's the case, then maybe they manage the roster. Maybe they manage Jaylen Brown a little bit differently too. Give him more rest, more load management throughout the year. Because he's another guy. It's not on the same level, but he has an injury right now. He referenced the fact that there may be surgery this offseason for him. Not sure yet. So maybe they manage him much differently this year. So I think when you look at Tatum's recovery timeline, the age works in his favor. The age works in the Celtics' favor. But I'm not going to be shocked if they have more caution with him. And it's a different group in the front office, but that's what they did with Kevin Garnett in 09. You remember when Kevin Garnett had those bone spurs, got surgery, there were whispers like, oh, if they get back to the NBA Finals, he'll come back. And maybe he would have. But in that first and second round against Chicago and Orlando, he was nowhere near coming back. And they were very cautious with him. And again, a little bit older, I get it, but I wonder if they'll approach it kind of in a similar fashion.
Yeah, the text line says Gordon Hayward was never the same, different injury, but not soft tissue like Tatum. Theoretically, Gordon should have been back.
Yeah, he was never the same.
I think it's fair to say Gordon Hayward, it's documented. Jackie McMullen had a great piece a couple years after that injury that his mentals about the injury were a struggle. And I think that is honestly, like half the battle is not just getting yourself in the rehabilitation every single day and getting yourself stronger through the pain and building your strength back up, but then the confidence when you're back on the floor. You talked about the possibility that Tatum would look timid when he's back, and we're projecting way into the future. My curiosity, when you look at somebody like Brady with the ACL and the doom and gloom that was around that at that time, is this going to be the end of this beginning of the end of Brady? Is that after the initial return, he rips off a crazy second act. And it, a lot of it, if you talk to him.
But the roster around him was a lot different.
And that's what I'm saying. If you talk to Brady, he'll be like, it's avocado fish oil and going to bed at 8 p.m. or whatever weird stuff and drinking the ocean and whatever. Like, he'll go down that path and he believes that and it works for him. And he says his mindset also changed. Will we see a change like that in Tatum? Like, he's a young guy who's incredibly dedicated to his craft, but will we see a different edge to him, a different approach? It's just something that I'm curious about. And then on top of that, you have Brad Stevens. He's already been tasked publicly by Wick Grosbeck with handling everything around the new CBA in the front office and remaking the roster. So maybe there is a major retool, not this offseason, but over the next season and the season after that, so that when you have Tatum back, hopefully to a total semblance of himself at 28 years old, you have the best situation around him, the way that the Patriots eventually did with Brady.
And I think one tangible thing we will see, Mego, when Tatum gets back and it will stick, you're going to see him with load management. And that's something that has been a great thing about him in his career, where I think at the time he got hurt, he had played 1,500 more minutes than anyone else over the past few years. His availability has been grimy. He's over 70 in the non-COVID years. He's over 70 games all the time. I think you could see that first full season back, he plays 50 games. And the next season back, it's maybe just that 66 threshold for awards, right? And then you might see him, instead of playing 80 games or 78 games, it's in the mid to high 60s kind of year in and year out. And maybe that, you know what? If you're trying to go deep in the playoffs and you're trying to play 100 games in a year per se, or 105 games, maybe that's necessary for a guy coming. I mean, we've seen another guy who I don't know if has ever been fully the same, Kawhi Leonard, right? He had that weird injury in San Antonio, had one real healthy year, Toronto wins a championship, and then he's kind of been just battling these little health issues constantly since then, and the Clippers have never reach that level I think they would. So,
well, there you have it. John Lyons thinks that Tatum might be Kawhi Leonard and battling injuries for the rest of his career.
Not.
And I think that maybe he's going to be the Tom Brady of basketball and come back and go on a tear, finally start out this dynasty, or maybe just make it a different way in this championship window. We see your calls. I promise we'll get to you in the next segment. We're going to continue our Celtics talk right after this break.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
You're listening to Mego and Shime on WEEI.
We left you guys hanging for a while. I feel bad. I just can't stop talking. I was the kid in elementary school that got the notes home from the teachers all the time. Talks too much in class.
Me too.
Look at us. Look at us now. Who would have thought?
Maybe those teachers.
Yes. Let's go to Barry in New Bedford. Barry, you're on.
Hey, it's pretty clear. I think Jason Tatum is going to be out next year, correct?
I think there's a very solid chance that he's out for the entire season, but we don't know.
Okay. That gives you a two-year window to reconfigure your cap because you're a tax two team right now and you're severely limited. And it allows you to reconfigure your roster. What's your best asset for doing that? That would be Jaylen Brown. Now, you don't want to trade him away for nothing. But if you take a key with Oklahoma City a few years ago when they took 29-year-old Paul George and they traded him to the Clippers. The assets they got back allowed them to rebuild their roster and make another run at a championship. And right now they're the best team in the West, when you think about it. That's the approach the Celtics need to take in the offseason. Just keeping Brown and just getting rid of a few bodies like Porzingis or Holiday is not going to do that because you're still going to be in somewhat in a tax issue and you're not going to be able to – and you don't have the money or the assets to trade to get another star player. So you're better off doing this now. So when you get to 27 and Tatum is healthy, it allows you have maybe younger assets, possibly a future lottery pick that turns into an elite player, or you do – San Antonio offers you number two and a rotational – a good young rotational piece – back to you, so when Tatum is back, you're ready to reopen that window and make out a run of championship.
Thanks, Barry. I think this is a school of thought that a lot of people are following, and I don't fault them. The idea of making a really dramatic change because you want to boost this championship window for Jason Tatum, and you just watched Jaylen Brown have 6 turnovers last night, and even though he was pretty great offensively at times in the first half, you know, it's clear that Tatum is the one who is the number one on this team. But I am really, really allergic to the idea of trying to get back into the lottery in these next 2 off seasons. I don't like this draft very much, and I don't want to like get into the depths of the NBA draft because I think that's pretty boring for most people. I don't want to get into the lottery mostly because I think most players, I would say 80% of players that you get from even lottery picks are going to take 3+ years to mature into being somebody who can help lead you to a championship. Jaylen and Jason are best case scenario.
And those guys took a few years the lottery. To get
yeah.
to that point.
Think about the what Jason Tatum did in that 2018 season, getting to the Eastern Conference Finals when Kyrie Irving was out. Was extremely unusual, and that's why people made such a big deal out of it. And that's why them going back to the Eastern Conference Finals every year felt like it wasn't enough for the most part, because you saw Jason Tatum get them there and Jaylen Brown, but Tatum was the piece that took them over the edge that playoff run. Everybody looked at it and was like, wait, you got there so early. Why aren't you getting to the finals now? For most of these teams, OKC, like, they've had their own uncertainty around Chet Holmgren's injury last year.
And even the caller's comparison there, and sorry to cut you off, but, like, when they traded Paul George, they didn't have SGA. Like, the Celtics have Tatum. Like, that
right.
Some of the assets...
So some of the argument then would be, okay, so if you put yourself in a position where you traded Jaylen Brown and you got some really great lottery pick back, and then you really tank next year... and you get another lottery pick, and then you trade those to a team that's in a severe rebuild mode or that really likes something in the draft, and you get players that are plug-and-play, true awesome players, or you open up the space to bring in a free agent who wants to win a championship now. Like, those moves, I think, are just so based on timing and luck. I'm not going to sit here and say that's an impossible path to go down. Like, I'm not going to say that that's not what they might do. I just think when you're going into the lottery, you're hoping against hope and going against the odds that you're going to end up with a Jaylen Brown. And Jaylen is still very young. He's got a heavy tax burden and he's got a supermax deal, but he's still very young. So if I'm looking at what do you do to maximize the window around Jason Tatum, it's tough because Jaylen Brown is the biggest piece that you could move, but I don't think they're going to move Jaylen Brown.
I don't think they should either.
I don't think they should.
Like, the only way I'm moving Jaylen Brown, if it's for a top 7 or 8 player in the NBA, and obviously that would then have to be part of a package, because I think Brown's a top 20 player, and you mentioned Max, like, these two guys just won a championship together with Brown as the finals MVP. Right. Like, I think people are glossing over that because they're like, oh, you could have this trade or do this or do that. Like, your best path to win more championships is those two guys, and you can throw in Derek White too, but those two guys and building around them.
Yeah,
like, that's your best path.
What I'm very allergic to is just completely punting on next year. Even if Tatum's out all of next year, they're going to be in a position where they can be, you know, a 6 seed. They can be a 5 seed.
I think they could be a 4 seed. Really.
I don't know. I don't know but what the roster is going to look like, so we'll see. But this idea of, like, a true teardown, moving Jaylen Brown, getting these assets and trying to set yourself up in 2 years, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it's impossible that we see that happen. It's just, it wouldn't be my choice. I think you hold on to the player, and I think you stay away from any lottery situation when you have somebody like Jason Tatum, who is supposed to be in his prime, even if he's coming back from Achilles.
Yeah, and it would be borderline unprecedented for a team with two players this good for them to just trade one of them so you can tank while the other is injured. I'm not saying it's never happened before, but that would be a really,
I think,
really...
Some people are looking at, like, the Robinson situation with the Spurs, and then they were able to get Tim Duncan through the draft, and saying, like, wow, one of the, Tim Duncan's one of the greatest
players. But they didn't trade David Robinson to do that, right? Like, he was out
hurt.
No,
but because he was out, they were sure. Bad the next year, so then they get this forever dynasty because of Tim Duncan. I just think that is, like, that's you're really going up against the house with that. Like, you really are walking in and thinking that you're going to beat everybody and beat all the odds.
And you could get a top 3 pick, and it could be another Jaylen Brown. It could also be Markelle Fultz or Brandon Ingram.
Exactly. That's
like,
what
that's
I'm saying.
Like, that's a huge, and I, yeah, that, like, that's a huge
nobody
risk.
Nobody can sit there and say, you guys thought you were going to get Tim Duncan that year. Like, you know?
And they got Chauncey Billups and then gave up on him early. Like, there's so many things that could happen.
All you got to do is watch Celtic City. You thought you were getting Tim Duncan that year. He goes to the Spurs. Like, all of this stuff, you can't control everything, so... I'm open to hearing all options, and I think it's an interesting conversation to have. It just wouldn't be my choice. We're going to continue taking calls on the Celtics on the other side. We'll reset. We'll talk a little bit about what happened last night, the way that this playoff run ended, what went wrong against the Knicks, and continue talking about what we think the future is going to hold for this team and Jason Tatum as he begins his journey back from the Achilles injury.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.